All right, take your Bible, look in John chapter 12, a few minutes. John chapter 12. Good to have Nora tonight. Amen. Amen. I pray the Lord surprise us every week. I mean, every service. I pray the Lord send somebody in we haven't seen in a while. And the Lord seems like he keeps on answering prayers like that. John chapter 12, and it says, verse 1, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Jesus. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was this ointment sold for 300, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? You got to watch out for people always talking about giving to the poor. Yeah, yeah, watch out for those folks. You always see that in Congress. Here they are, a bunch of millionaires. They don't give nothing to nobody. And they're always talking about giving to somebody. They want you to do it, but they don't want to do it themselves. You got to watch out for them people. Always using the poor, you know. It what bothers me when they start talking about the American people. The American them people don't care about American people. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? It's always the guy holding the bags all worries about the money. And, you know, the world, I've said this, the number one god in the world is money. That's the number one god. People are caught up and they're trying to chase that dollar, trying to get that buck. And the Bible talks about the love of money is the root of all evil. And you love money. And, you know, thank God you got some money. Amen. Thank God you got money to pay the bill. When you get a little extra money, hallelujah, what a blessing. And it's a blessing to have extra money. It's a blessing to be able to pay your bills, buy food, buy things for the kids, all that stuff. What a blessing. But Judas was always the one sitting around carrying, holding the bag, always wondering, well, how come this wasn't given to this? Well, how come that? You got to watch out for that mess. Those people always talking about it is the ones that you got to watch out for. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? The guy knew how much it was worth. He knew how much it was worth. This he said, not that he cared for the people, for the poor. That, like I said, that reminds me every time these congressmen and all that talk. But that he was a thief and had the bag and bared what was put in therein. And it made me, I've often wondered, why did the Lord let Judas have the bag? If the Lord knew what Judas was going to do, and here he is holding the money. Why would the Lord let that happen? You think, why would it? But see, that shows you what God thinks about money. He don't think about it. The Lord don't, you know, he don't get that upset about money. You know, God's not broke. And Jesus, have you ever sat around, you read your Bible, have you ever thought about, Lord, I think this would have been a better way if you'd have done it this way. You know, if you would have showed your power to the world and all that stuff, they would have, but see, that's not the way. God's ways are not our ways. He don't think the way. He knows the outcome before the beginning, man. He knows the outcome. And the Lord allows things in your life. You think, well, God, why'd you do that? Why, you know, he's got a particular outcome he wants to see happen. And it's for your benefit. And he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bared what was put therein. I imagine Judas, every time somebody put something in the bag, he was probably looking to see how much money is there, putting his hand in there, feeling around. And, worried about that bag. And then he sells Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. You know, Joseph is a type of Jesus Christ. He got sold out for 20 pieces. And I said, you know, some people sell the Lord out for less than that. They sell Jesus Christ out for a lot less than that. They'll sell him out for a job. They'll sell him out for prestige, for power. They will open their mouth. I watched the Super Bowl the other night, and then I saw a thing where Mahone, he claims to be a Christian, you know. And I watched to see if they do the sign of the cross, you know. We saw that guy there Sunday. He was at the Wesleyan College. He was sitting in the back I kept saying, sis, hey, sis, I think he was trying to be a girl. I don't know what he was trying to be, but he was doing something. But I kept calling him sis. But I noticed at the end of the thing, he was doing a sign of the cross. People doing that cross, they cursed himself. And then Jesus said, let her alone. You know, the Lord won't rebuke you if you give him whatever you have. And the best that you have. You know what the best you have is, like the Bible tells us, the best you have that you can give back to God is your life. Is your life. Just give it back to him. Say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Just give him your life. Yeah, that's why Paul said in Romans chapter 12, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It boggles my mind why a person that knows something about the Bible, why they will not give the God their life. I know we all try to hold back on him. You think about it. If we didn't hold out on God, if we didn't hold out on him and we just gave him, how many people we think get saved? If we didn't hold back on opening our mouths for Jesus Christ, how many are giving out a tract or witness to somebody? I saw Bill, you know, Bill that owns that TNT. I saw him at the Lowe's and you know, talked to him a little bit. But Bill's a Catholic. He's a staunch Catholic. And just like that guy I dealt with, he's staunch Catholic. So what I try to do is try to be their friend first, because I know, when I throw a little Bible in on him, but then I know if I attack him, he's going to avoid me like the plague. Jack works for Delaware Propane. I noticed now, every time I go in there, if he's there, what's his first name again? Pat. If Pat's there, he hears my voice, he'll come and real discreetly shut the door. Real discreetly. And then, you know, he'll leave it open a little bit, then he'll kind of shut it. Pat claims he got saved. Now, I told Jack that, and Jack said, I don't think he's saved. But y'all pray for Pat, that Pat would get saved. But I witnessed to him real good. But it says, this he said not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bared what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing has she kept this. And the Lord had, God had everything set up. Not the way you and I would have thought about the way to have done it and the way it should have been done. But here's Mary, comes in there and takes the best she has. Because she, you know why? You know, the Bible says to much is given as much as required. And the Lord saved Mary. She had devils and everything else in her. And, man, God had mercy on Mary, and she went in there, and, man, she didn't care what anybody thought. You got to get this attitude about the world. I'm not saying be a fool, go in and just shoot off your mouth and run everybody away from you. I'm saying you got to be wise to go in and try to win people to the Lord. And Mary got to the place where she didn't care what anybody thought. Amen. She didn't care what you thought. I mean, I tell people when I preach at funerals and I preach at weddings, I go to new churches, I get up, I said, I don't care what you think. It really don't matter to me. I love you, I care about you, and I want you to like me, but if you don't, that don't bother me one bit. And you got to get that attitude where, hey, man, I want to be your friend, and the Bible says he that have friends must show himself friendly, just like talking to those guys. I want to be friends to them, but I just got this attitude. I don't care what you think. I really don't. I don't care. I want to see people saved. I want to see people living for God and doing what's right. That's what I'd like to see. And the Lord says, let her alone. Let her alone. Against the day of my bearing hath she kept this. And that there was for a certain day, time, and everything. And you know what? God thought so much about that, he wrote it in his book. He wrote it. I mean, think about the day when we stand before the Lord at the judgment seat. Are we going to have anything that the Lord say, you know what? They gave. I'm not talking about just money. A lot of times we think about giving, we think about money. Man, they did something. I remember Doc, we were sitting in the classroom one night. I never forgot, I went home that night, sat in my room, and a bunch of us riding together that night. I never forget, we was riding back. Doc got up and said, he said, you know, fellas, he said, I can count on one hand all the things I've done for Jesus Christ that I didn't get rewarded for. I didn't get paid back for. I didn't get, you know, nobody patted me on the back for. He said, I can count on one hand. Man, that bothered me. I went home that night, and those guys, we was all riding down the road in the car together, and we just sat, nobody said a word. We just thought about that. Thought about, he said, and here, he's been preaching for 50, 60 years, and he said, I could count on one hand that I've done something for God that nobody knew about, I didn't get rewarded for, that man, I'll face the judgment seat of Christ, and I'll, you know, thank God I did it for the Lord, but I didn't brag about it, didn't tell nobody about it, and nobody knew about it. I just did it for him. Man, we talking about something sticky. And boy, if we could do that. And, you know, you see it at camp meetings. A lot of times, you know, at camp meetings, people get fired up and they'll go around. I'll never forget the first time it happened to me. I thought, this is a good thing. People come up putting money in my pocket. I thought, man, this is pretty good. This is pretty good. People were coming up, putting money in my pocket and everything. But, like I told these guys, and I've told a lot of young guys, I said, you're never really grown until you learn how to give back. A lot of time when you first get saved, you're always taking. You like it. Man, what a thing. Man, I've got money in my pocket. I'll never forget that one Sunday, Linda and I was sitting in church. I gave my last, everything we had. And we had, I don't know how many children at the time we had. And Linda, this one, Wendy's first came out. She said, I wish we had enough money to go to Wendy's. And I reached in my pocket, and what in the world? I pulled out. It was a $50 bill. And the only one that was sitting next to me was a guy named Dan Gilbert. And I said, that had to be Dan did that. But when I got to the place where things turned, I was able to start giving back. It was a blessing to give. It was a blessing to give back. I'm not, and not letting nobody know. That's why these, you see at camp meetings, people going up and just putting money on people and putting money in the plate and putting money in this and that. They didn't want nobody to know. They just did it. And, you know, I know we take up offering here and we put our, you know, we get our tax return. We can take it off our tax. I think it's good while we can do it. Amen. I think you ought to do it if you can do it. But some people don't like to do that. They won't do it. They just forget that. But it says when Jesus said, let her alone. Against the day of my burying have she kept this. For the poor always you have with you. But me, you have not always. You're not going to always have a chance to serve God. You're not always going to have a chance to be able to do something for the Lord that nobody's going to know about, and nobody's going to pat you on the back for it, and God's going to know about it. And then he's going to reward you for it. I always tell people, you know what the Lord does? He rewards you here, and he'll reward you there. He'll do it in both places. And you'll reap the benefits of it but that's not your, I had a friend of mine, he would go like this, he'd sit around, calculate, pull his wallet out, he says, well, if I give $10, the Lord's going to give me 100 back. And I said, that's not the way it works. That's not, you calculating in your mind how you're going to get more money from God. It's, sometimes the Lord rewards us not in just in the monetary means, it's health. It can be health, your children's health. Protection and all that. I mean, I'm not saying God, you know, you have to pay God to get protected. I'm just saying the Lord pays you back in a lot of ways. Benefits, man. Talking about his benefits. It says, let her alone against the day of my burying have she kept this. For the poor, you always have with you. And people always, like I said, people always talking about the poor this, the poor that. And there is poor people, and we need to help people that's poor. If you got something you can give to somebody, and what blesses my heart, I keep stuff around the house. If somebody can use it, praise the Lord, you can have it. Amen. That's a blessing to be able to give. Some folks take in stuff, and they want to be able to try to get maximum money out of it. But if giving it away, I told somebody, giving stuff away a lot of times comes back at you tenfold. It just keeps coming back. But much people of the Jews, therefore, verse 9, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. They wanted to come see what happened. They heard about it. They wanted to come see it. And when something's going on, that's why a church is so important. You have a church that if people in the neighborhood, they'll know if you got something bad going on in church, people in the neighborhood know. If there's something good going on, people in the neighborhood will know. They'll know. They'll hear about it. People will be talking. When we went down to get the permit, we was trying to, me and Brother Squiggy and a whole bunch of us went down to this county down here, and we was trying to get a variance for the building out here. And there's what's the name of that representative that was there? He represents this area. I forget the guy's name. I shouldn't know his name, but. Huh? Might have been. It might have been one of him. I'm bad about names. But I stood up there at the podium, and we were the last ones that get up there to get a variance for that gym. We haven't even had to bought the gym or nothing yet. And we went in there, and about, I told the church, about 30 of us went in. I think Miss Nunn went, and who else went? Dave, did you go? A bunch. We went down for the first time. We went before the county. And we stand up there at the podium, and I was telling them what we want to do. And one of the representatives there that represents this area, the guy, he says, I heard about your church. And I went, oh, God. I started praying. And I started praying. And we was all standing there, and he said, I heard about your church. He said, and I like what I hear. Y'all doing something. And I wish, you know, he said, you know, people talk about y'all everywhere. And I went, really? And he said, yeah, there was five commissioners up there. And he says, I'm for passing a motion that we give them a variance for that building. He said, who will second it? And we sat there, squeaking to you. We sat there, and I looked at every one of them. I'm looking at them in the eyes. And all of them started doing this. They just went. Nobody would second it. And I went, I was like getting, what? Nobody second it? And then they all had their heads down, except for that one guy. He represented this area. And I looked around like this. I went like this to everybody. Pray. Everybody started praying. We were the last ones in the building. I'm looking at them and looking at each one of them in their eyes. I'm going, how come nobody's second it? And then finally, the lawyer steps up. It was a woman lawyer. She steps up, and she steps up in front of the main commissioner and says, well, since nobody has seconded it, there's no reason for us to go on. And I went, what? We were just trying to get a variance from 100 feet to 10 feet. And then she says, well, we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and take a vote. So they took a 10-minute break, and, man, we all got together and started praying. And they're all looking at us. We're in the room praying. And then they came back, and the lawyer says, all right, session's back in. She sits back down. And she looks at the commissioner sitting behind the main desk. She looks over and says, all right, how you vote? To the first guy. Now, he didn't say nothing. He wouldn't second to nothing. He looked at us, and I looked at him. I'm standing at the podium, and I'm looking at him, and he says, yes. I went, why didn't you do that in the first place? The second guy that voted, he was for us, he said, yes. And I thought, there's two out of five. And they went to the middle, commissioner. And they stared at us. They just stared at us. Squiggy, we was all like, oh, my Lord, what's going on here? And he said, yes. Then the next guy, that's three out of five. The next guy goes, well, I can't go against the church. He goes, yes. And then a unanimous, all five of them. I'm thinking, well, you fools, why didn't you? And then they stopped. They said, well, look, I'm going to tell you something right now. He said, that building's not going to get built. And I, what? I went, what? They said, it's not going to get built. We're giving you a variance because we feel sorry for you. Am I telling it right? He said, we feel sorry for you. But you're not building that building. It ain't happening. I said, well, we got past this hurdle. We'll pray to the next hurdle. And what you got to do, you get past one hurdle that looks insurmountable, go to the next one. We came back again. They looked at us and laughed. They went, we went through the same thing again. And finally, they just said, you're not building that building. And we kept praying because we believe God's going to give us that building to be able to put that. We've used that building. Some of y'all don't know the thing we went through to get to that. Yes, sir. And then they kept changing everything on us. We went back, prayed again. And finally, it just got to where, then after we bought this property back here, when we bought the property back there, the lady, after we had the building sitting on the ground for 2 years, they wouldn't give us permit to put the building up. They only let us put the concrete in. So we went in and put the concrete in fast as we could. It was in March or April, February or March. It was cold. That's why the thing cracked. We're just trying to do something, but we kept praying. God, I know you're going to do something. And then they called me up. They said, you can't put that building up. After we got the building on the ground. I said, what do you mean we can't put the building up? We got the building sitting on the ground. You already gave me the permit. They said, well, we made a mistake. I mean, it was a constant. I don't know why I brought that up, but it was just on my mind. And it says about Lazarus, they come to see. And what happens is, that's why I brought it up, because the people, when they hear something, they say, something's going on over there. Something's happening. And when Lazarus got raised from the dead, something definitely did happen. Amen. And people heard about it. And look at the next verse. We're going to stop right there. Let's get Brother Ken up here. Verse 10, it says, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. They wanted to kill him again. I mean, he died one time, but they wanted to kill him because of his testimony. His testimony meant a lot. Your testimony, what God's done. It says, because that by reason of him, because his testimony, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. What a blessing. Man, keep your testimony. That ain't the message tonight, but just keep your testimony. Come on, Brother Ken.